Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, we just release your light into this session today. We thank you. You're going to learn how to teach us to heal the woundedness in our soul that's connected with every area of our lives, including our finances. And we're going to have financial freedom and increase because of the healing in our soul. In Jesus' name, I pray these things. Amen. All right, during this conference, we've been talking about how to position ourselves for financial increase. In this session, you're going to learn one of the most important things that you need to know in order to be prepared for the blessing. You must receive healing in your soul. Listen to the scripture in 3 John 1, verse 2. It says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." Okay, according to the scripture, God wishes above all things, that we would prosper and be in health. But it happens even as our soul is prospered. Now, first of all, when we look at the word prosper, that God wants us to prosper, let's clarify it. Does it include financial increase, or is it just spiritual prosperity? That word prosper in the Greek means, quote, to prosper, to be fortunate, to be successful, especially in terms of one's finances, to thrive. So yes, along with spiritual enablements and other enablements, that word prosper does mean that God desires for you to thrive in your finances, okay? Above all things, God wants that to happen to you, but it happens as your soul is prospered. Okay. What constitutes the soul man? Your mind, your will, and your emotions make up your soul. Okay, we're three-part beings, body, soul, and spirit. Okay, when you were born again in Christ Jesus, your spirit man was instantly made perfect. Okay, the scripture says that we have the spirit of Christ living in us. Okay, but your soul man was not. Your spirit man has no sin in it. No darkness, it's instantly perfect, but your soul man was not made instantly perfect. There's a process, according to scripture, of bringing our mind, our will, and our emotions into healing and under the lordship of Jesus Christ. That's why 1 Corinthians 10 says, "Take every thought that would set itself up against the knowledge of God into captivity to Jesus." That indicates that we have a problem with our mind and that there's this process of bringing our thoughts under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Hold on, I gotta move this so I can move this. Okay. So upon your conversion into Jesus, your spirit's made perfect, but your soul man is not. How many of you know that our soul is a mess? Our soul man is a mess. Over our lifetimes, each and every single person has experienced circumstances and situations that have left wounds on our soul. Those wounds in our soul can cause us to think wrong thoughts and take wrong actions. They can cause us to have unhealthy, unbalanced emotions. They can cause us to have what's called soul pain, to feel stuff like rejection, loneliness, fear, depression, anxiety. Have you ever had one of those days when just like, whoa, you felt horrible, and you're just like, what is going on, man? It was probably that you were experiencing the torment that comes from having a wound in your soul, okay? Now, do you know why John 3:1 says that we will be prospered as our soul is prospered? Because check it out. If God gave us a large financial blessing right now when our soul was a mess, then we would blow the blessing, okay? We would think wrong thoughts and take wrong actions concerning the money because of the woundedness in our soul, okay? We would get emotional about the money because of the wounds in our soul. If we were to get the blessing before our soul is totally healed, we're not going to do well with the blessing. We're going to blow the blessing, okay? But if our soul man is healed first, the wounds in our soul completely healed up by Jesus, then that means that God can finally trust us with the blessing. And it will be just as 3 John 1 said, "Beloved, I pray above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul is prospered." When your soul is healed, then God's going to, poof, he's going to bring that thousandfold increase to you, because now you're going to make decisions according to the Spirit of God operating in you. And that spirit, that perfected spirit, is not going to be working through the filter of your wounded soul. You're going to make decisions not based out of unhealthy emotions, but based on what God desires for your life and for his kingdom. Okay? You're going to be able to not only live the abundant life Jesus called you to live with the blessing that God gives you, but you'll be able to know how to use the blessing to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth and thus bring God so much glory. Amen? If you received the blessing while your soul was still wounded, you could end up in worse condition financially than you were when you started. Let me tell you a story about that. I was watching this documentary one time. These television producers decided to do a story. They decided to see what would happen if they gave a homeless person $100,000. They wanted to see if it would enable that person to get out of the situation they were in and to stay out. Okay? So they went and they interviewed a bunch of homeless people, and they found a man that they thought fit their criteria. They wanted to make sure they didn't get a drug addict or someone like that. This man was homeless. He didn't do drugs, but he would drink a little beer here and there. And they told this man that they wanted to do a documentary of his life. They did not tell him about the $100,000. Okay, so each day this film crew would follow this man around as he did his daily activities. He lived in a cardboard box that he had constructed underneath a bridge area in Los Angeles. Okay, and every day he would get up and he would take his one possession. He had a bicycle, a beat-up bicycle, and he'd get on it, and he would go and check all these different dumpsters and get the aluminum cans out of them and collect them and then take them to the recycler and turn them in. And every day he'd make just enough money to buy a little bit of food, to buy a couple of cigarettes from somebody, and to buy a little bit of beer. And this team would follow him around shooting his daily routine. They also sat there and interviewed him. And the man would tell stories about his life. And you could tell as you watch this man that this man had been through some circumstances, like we all have. He had been through some painful things with his family. He had been through a war. He was in one of the wars. And you could tell by his emotions, by the way he would respond to questions, by the way he would think, that he had been through such terrifying and horrible events that they had left wounds on his soul. And those wounds were now affecting his emotions and directing his emotions and affecting and directing the way he thought. Okay? So after shooting these interviews and things like that, after about a month of this routine, the producers finally arranged one day to get the $100,000, put it in a briefcase, and to put it inside a dumpster, one of the dumpsters that he frequented. And so they followed him along on his quest that day, and he got to the dumpster, he hopped in, and he found the briefcase. And this man was overwhelmed with joy. He was beside himself. He could not believe that this blessing had literally fallen out of the sky into his lap. He was just ecstatic. But the one thing he kept on repeating these things. He said, "This is what I've been waiting for. This blessing is going to completely change my life. It's going to enable me to get out of here, and I'm never going to come back again." How many of you have said that? When God gives me the financial blessing, that's what I've been waiting for. It's going to completely change my life, and I'll never go back again. That's what he kept on chanting. That was his mantra. So he wanted to share this exciting discovery with someone. He didn't have very many friends. He had some acquaintances, however, at the recycling center. So he got on his bike to turn in his little cans and to show them what happened. And he got there and began to tell everybody about how he climbed in the dumpster and found this $100,000. And everybody came out, and everybody was just overwhelmed and just freaked out and couldn't believe it too. And you could see this man in his emotions was just going higher and higher and you know, this just giddy and out of control with his emotions, just overwhelmed. Of course, I would probably be too if I found $100,000 in a dumpster. Okay, and he's sitting there in the middle of this high peak of this guy. Oh, I can't believe it. Oh, wow. The guy next to him that worked at the recycling center said, "Gee, I sure wish I found $100,000 because I need a new truck." And right there, the man spun around and says, "I'll buy your truck right now. Come on, let's go." And they all ran and got into somebody else's truck, and down the road they went, and he bought this guy a truck. Now, that's super cool, but he bought him a $28,000 truck. I'm sure there were plenty of good $14,000 trucks or $9,000 trucks that would have been equally of a blessing for a man he'd never met for in his life. Now, I'm not trying, as we as Christians should be totally generous like that, okay? But you could see that he was making that decision out of unhealthy emotions. It wasn't because he was believing that God was directing him to do that. Okay, then he goes, and he goes into a hotel, gets cleaned up, thank God, he has a good meal, great. 3 days later, he goes out and buys himself a truck, the best one there is, $38,000. Now, I want you to do the math. Okay, we'll just round it up, 40 and 30, that's 70 grand in 3 days. Okay, then the man goes out, he stays in the hotel for like a month, and he's dealing out money. He calls all his relatives, they come, they hit him up for money, of course. They never talked to him his whole life, but he doesn't care. Now he's got the money, and now he wants to be the big shot. He's like, look, see, I told you I could do something with my life. Now you all should stop talking about me and be proud of me. Look at me, I'm giving you money, ha. So he starts dealing out money, but he's mad about it the whole time. You can tell, because later I'm going to say, those people don't even respect me. Well, they never helped me when I was on the streets. So now he's giving out money to all his family and friends. He goes, he gets an apartment. He gets an apartment, then he starts to fully stock it. He buys the big screen TV and the Game Boys and the DVD players and the high def this and the this, that, right? And he buys all the new clothes. He gets himself a girlfriend. Then he goes and he does the one smart thing. He gets his teeth fixed because he hasn't been able to chew or eat food because he didn't have any teeth. So that's about $13,000. So you can see the money is going very quickly at this point. Very quickly. Then the producers of the show, they're following this whole track the whole time. And they're getting concerned, so they go to him and they say, we'd like to offer you some help. We'll offer you free counseling, free mental and health counseling, emotional counseling. We'll also offer you free job training. You pick the career that you want, and we'll get you trained for it for free. We'll help you write out resumes. We'll help you go out and find a job. And he's there and they're going, yeah, that's probably a good idea. Yeah, okay. Right, because I don't want to go back. I want to keep going. And right. So he says yes, but he doesn't go to any of the counseling. And he says yes to the training, but he goes for like a week and then he drops out. He starts to go look for jobs. They help him go look for jobs in here and there. Takes him about a month or so. He finally finds one. He goes for about a week and a half and then he quits. Okay, and he slowly, totally, actually wasn't even slow. It was very quickly. He's running out of money. Now, while he still had the money, this made it even worse. He went to the bank to put it in the bank so he'd have someplace safe to keep it. And the bank convinced him. They see a guy walking in with, $30,000 of cash. They say, you need to start building up credit. So you should get a credit card. Because then you can start building up your credit. And then one day you can buy a house. You know how banks are. So he does. He opens up a credit card. So finally, the 100 grand runs out. He's at home playing video games all day and drinking beer with his girlfriend and buying her stuff. And the money runs out. So now he starts selling stuff. He sells the truck, which he just got like 2 months before for 38 grand, and he sells it for 20 grand. Right? Then he sells the couch and then this. And pretty soon that's all that's left is the big screen TV and the Game Boy. Okay, then he completely runs out of money. He spends all that money and he starts putting stuff on the credit card. And he starts building up $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 in debt. At the end of the story, he is right back in the very same place where his box was, underneath the bridge. It maybe took a year and a couple of months. And he has lost everything except the only thing he had was his teeth. And he's worse off than he was before because now he's got $40,000 in debt. That man was not ready to receive that blessing in his soul. His soul had been so wounded by the different events of his life that it affected his emotions. He was emotional about the money. It affected the way he thought. He made wrong decisions and he took wrong actions with the money. And he ended up in worse condition that when he started from. We don't want that to happen to us. And neither does God. And I honestly believe that that's why for many of us, most of Christians right now, have not received the big blessing that they know God has said that they're going to get and that they're believing for and that they've been tithing into because our soul is not ready. And God does not want us to get into that kind of a mess. Amen? Amen.